All right, get your Bibles if you would, and let's open them to the book of Job, chapter number 38. Sakla tayo ng Job sa Lumang Tipan. At naalala natin yung Job, nakabahagi yan sa tatlong bahagi. Chapter 1 and 2, yung prologue, ibig sabihin yung mga salita bago yung dialogue, pro, before, log, word. So prologue, chapters 1 and 2. Background ni Job. Anong nangyari sa kanya? Ano yung mga pangyayari kay Job? Summarize for us in fast sequence. Ang bilis ng nangyari kay Job, chapters 1 and 2. Pagkatapos, yung gitna, the middle section of Job, yan yung pinakamahabang section sa buong book ng Job, mula chapter 3 hanggang chapter 42, verse 6. So that's the end of Job. Kasi hanggang 42 chapters lang siya. Pero yung 42 hanggang verse 6, yan ay yung poetry section. At ang tawag natin doon, dialogue. So prologue, dialogue. Pagkatapos, from 42 verse 7 hanggang verse 17, that's what we call the epilogue. Ibig sabihin ng epi, after. Log, word. So before word, dialogue, through word. And epilogue, afterward. So, that's your three major sections of the book of Job. Now, in the book of Job, yung dialogue, natuklasan natin, nagsalita si Job, tapos nag-reply yung mga kaibigan ni Job, Eliphaz, Zophar, and Bildad. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Tapos, nag-reply rin si Job sa kanila. At nangyari yung pananalita nila 3 times. It's a cycle. Nagsalita na naman si Job, nagreply na naman si Eliphaz. Job, Bildad, Job, Zophar. 3rd cycle. So 3 beses nangyari yon, and so on and so forth. Pagkatapos na magsalita si Job at saka yung kanyang mga kaibigan, nagsalita naman yung 4th na kaibigan na hindi natin tuklasan hanggang chapter 32, inintroduce siya. His name is Elihu, or in English, Elihu. In Tagalog, Elihu. Okay? So anyway, he has 4 speeches na nagbigay siya ng mga salita. It is a dialogue. At hindi naman sinagot ni Job. So, nung matapos si Elihu magsalita, nag-final defense na rin si Job. Nagbigay rin siya ng mga speeches niya. Final defense niya. Kumbaga, parang klinaklaro niya sa mga kaibigan niya, hindi ako sinusumpa ng Diyos dahil nagkasala ako laban sa Kanya. Yes, nagtataka ako bakit nangyayari to sa akin, pero wala naman akong kasalanan. Wala akong tinatago. And truthfully talaga, yung character ni Job ay sa panlabas na examination, he is blameless according to the scriptures sa chapter 1 at saka chapter 2. Maganda yung character niya. So bakit pinayagan ng Diyos na ipasok yung mga pagsubok sa buhay ni Job? And so ngayon, in the middle of Job's trial, Job begins to question God. So why, Lord? Yun ang naging fault. Kung may fault si Job, yun ang fault niya na medyo nag sa kanyang pagiging masigasig para sa Panginoon, naramdaman niya na sobra naman akong masigasig sa Panginoon, hindi naman mangyayari sa akin yung mga nangyari na ganun. And that was wrong. And so, Job begins to ask the Lord, and unbelief as a form of, it really is a form of self-righteousness na I'm so holy and so good, I don't deserve this kind of treatment. And so, ito yung fundamental problem ng tao talaga. We do our best, we do the good things, pero bad things still happen to good people. What do you do when bad things happen? Do you stop being good? Do you turn away from the Lord? Do you leave Him? Or do you trust Him? So, yun lang ang option natin. We only have 2 choices. We can obey and continue, or we can forsake Him. Yun lang ang choices natin. That's you know. So hopefully, so habang pinag-aaralan natin itong Job, makikita natin yung mga remembrance, yung mga lessons na nagsasabing, let's trust in God in the middle of suffering. especially when we don't understand what's going on. We don't have to know why if we know who. Okay, so hindi natin maunawaan kung bakit nangyayari ito, pero alam natin yung Diyos na nagpadala ng ganitong pagsubok. And we can trust in Him even if we don't know why. Okay? So these are the things we're learning in Job. Now, pagkatapos na magbigay ng final defense si Job, nagsalita na ngayon si Jehovah, the Lord. And he gives a number of speech, I think two major speeches. And we are now in chapter 38. Ito na yung pangatlong time natin sa chapter 38. Siguro tatapusin natin yung chapter 8 tonight. We'll be finished with chapter 8. Maybe. I don't know. I have half of a feeling that there's a lot of good stuff in here. I don't know if I can really do it justice in one night. But at the same time, I don't want to stay here neither. I want to move. Because I want to get to the book of Proverbs. And our time is short. So, and so I really want to get through this. But let's see what the Lord has for us. We are now looking at chapter 38, verse number 12. Chapter 38, verse number 12. Basahin natin yung verse 12 hanggang verse 18. At pansinin natin dito yung mga words na ito. Chapter 38, verse 12 hanggang 18. Let's read it together and then we'll pray. Ready? Together. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the dayspring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? Is it turned as clay to the seal, and thy sand as a garment? And from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea? Or hast thou walked in search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breath of the earth? Declare it if thou knowest at all. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to study the Word of God. I pray that our time in the Scriptures would be profitable, that the Holy Spirit of God would take these powerful words and drive home these truths to our hearts. Lord, we ask that you would deal with our hearts. You encourage us, Lord. Help us to gain something eternal from the Word of God that would make a difference in our life. And I pray for those who may not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that tonight they would open their heart, receive Jesus Christ as Savior before it's too late. They would, in humble repentance, turn to the Lord and take Him to be the Lord and Savior. We love you. We ask your blessing upon us now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So, in Job chapter 38, ginagamit ng Panginoon yung challenge kay Job. God is basically saying, Job, do you understand how nature works? Can you explain to me how, for example, how to tell the morning when to get up and how to spread the light to the ends of the earth? Can you do that, Job? Can you cause the dayspring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? So kung baga pagdating ng pagsapit na ng umaga, yung mga gumagawa ng kabalastugan at kamalian, parang nabubugabog sila at hindi na nila magawa yung gusto nilang gawin sa kadiliman dahil nga sa pagdating ng pagsapit ng umaga. And so, do you understand, Job, how the light in the morning that wakes you up, that encourages you for the day, is the same light that is a terror to those who work in their evil at night? Can you figure that out, Job? When to tell the light to come? When the morning will be set? Can you tell when, how the same light would be a curse to those who are evil and a blessing to those who are good? He says here, verse 14, it is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. So nagbabago yung, I guess, pag halimbawa nakita mo yung umaga, yung sinag ng araw, makikita mo yung lupa. you see the land in the light of the day. And you see how the landscape changes. Diba sa umaga, parang cloudy pa, parang lalo na sa Tagaytay. When you go to Tagaytay, yung umaga doon, ang sarap. Na parang nasa ulap ka. Kasi ang thick talaga ng fog. Tapos pag habang dumarating na yung ilaw, little by little nakikita mo na yung Taal, volcano, medyo hazy pa. Tapos pagdating talaga ng 12 o'clock, kitang-kita mo na talaga yung Taal. So, that's what it's saying. Clay to seal as a garment. It's being revealed. It's being shown. Verse 15, and from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. The same light that is a blessing to godly people is a curse to the wicked. Their light is withholden. The high arm is broken. Verse 16, hast thou entered into the springs of the sea? Let me take you down, Job, to the ocean. All right, now, we looked at the sun last week. We looked at the firmaments. Now let me take you down, and we saw the morning. Let me take you down to the ocean, Job. Let's go down to the sea. Maybe you can tell me about that one. Search the has entered into the springs of the sea. Saan nang galing yung sea, yung ocean? Meron palang springs sa ilalim na nagbibigay ng tubig. So there is a water cycle. Or hast thou walked in search of the depth? Ha? Pwede ka bang lumakad sa gitna ng kalaliman ng tubig, Job, para mag-explore? Did you know that even today, there are crevices in the deep that have yet to be explored? With all the modern technology and the scientific advancement that we have, hindi pa natin masasabi na dumaan na tayo sa pinakamalalim na bahagi ng mundo natin. We have yet to unearth the treasures of the sea. That's astounding. That's amazing. Verse 17, have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Itong gates of death. So remember, Job is the first book that was written. So nasulat ito sa kapanahon ni Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. And this provides a theological discussion for the rest of Scripture. So he talks about the gates of death has been opened unto thee. So Job, hindi lang tayo pupunta sa sea, mas pumunta pa tayo sa ilalim ng sea. Let's go to the very gates of death. Job, do you know anything about that? Kayo, you know anything about that? I don't think we want to know anything about that yet. Okay. Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Boy, that shadow of death. Naalala ninyo sa Psalm 23? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That word, the phrase shadow of death, lumilitaw pala sa book of Job 9 times. Nasa book of Job. Job is the foundation for the shadow of death. Hiniram lang pala ni David kay Job yung phrase shadow of death. Isaiah mentions the shadow of death once. Jeremiah mentions the shadow of death twice. Amos mentions the shadow of death once. And in the New Testament, it's mentioned twice, the shadow of death. So the gates of death, shadow of death. What do we know about the gates of death? Well, in the Old Testament, ang patutuo ng scriptures ay pag ang tao ay namatay, ililibing siya yung katawan niya sa lupa. So this is called the grave. Yung kanyang katawan nasa lupa. Grave. Isa sa mga pangalan ng grave sa Hebrew ay Sheol. Sheol. Ibig sabihin ng Sheol, ang pwesto ng mga patay, ang lugar na walang nagtatanong kung nasaan sila. That's basically the idea of Sheol. And it's in the, so yung grave, pabahagi ng Sheol. Pero ang patuto ng scripture, hindi lang grave Okay? Tingnan mo, for example, tingnan mo ang Ecclesiastes 9:10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10. Biro mo, mas malalim pa ito kaysa sa dagat. This is deep. Deeper than the sea. Sheol. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10 is a good example where Sheol is mentioned as the grave. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. So, pap, kung anong gusto mong gawin, gawin mo na. Kasi pag tumungo na yung katawan mo sa grave, hindi mo na magagawa yung gusto mong gawin. Tapos na yung buhay mo. That's the observation of King Solomon concerning Sheol, grave. Ang pagka-translate sa English dito, grave. Ibig sabihin ng grave sa Tagalog, libingan. Libingan, no? Grave, yeah? Okay? So, sa Hebrew, Sheol. Lugar ng mga patay, pwesto ng mga patay. And so on and so forth. Now, Luke chapter 16. Tingnan mo ang Luke chapter 16. Sa Bagong Tipan, the only preacher that opened the door of death, allowing us to look into Sheol, is Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 16. In a way, he takes the lid off of Sheol and allows us to see inside what's over there. Tingnan mo ang Luke 16 verse 22. Luke 16 verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Ayan pala. So merong bahagi ng Sheol na yung espiritu ng patay, hindi yung katawan dito, grave. Pero yung kaluluwa ng patay ay pumapasok sa isang bahagi ng Sheol na ang tawag ay Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom. So, sa verse 22, the rich man also died and was buried. Verse 23, and in Sheol, that's Hades, Greek, kasi New Testament ito, this would be Hades. Pero yung Hades naman, katapat niya yung Sheol, sa ito Hebrew, yung Hades, Greek. So yung verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Naku, torments. Ito naman siya. Sa torments naman siya. Oh, torments. So may bahagi pala ang Hades at ang Sheol ng kasaganahan at kapayapaan. Yan yung Abraham's bosom. Kaluluwa ng mga saved, ligtas. Abraham's bosom. Yung kaluluwa ng hindi saved, yung hindi tumanggap sa Panginoon, walang pananampalataya, hindi nagsisi, hindi sumampalataya sa Panginoon, pumupunta yung kaluluwa nila sa place of torments. So verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off. Nakita ng rich man yung pwesto ni Abraham nang napakalayo. And he cried, verse 24, and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Sandali lang. Saan yung katawan nitong rich man? Nasa grave. Ano yung tongue na sinasabi niya? Yung dila ko na nanauuhaw. Question, yung mga kaluluwa sa impyerno, nakakaramdam kaya sila? Ayan yung sabi ng Bible. You know it. Scriptures teach. By the way, may mga nagtuturo ng Bible, sabi nila, kwento-kwento lang ito. Alam nyo, sa lahat ng mga parable ng Bible, walang specific name ang binabanggit pagdating sa parable. Pero dito, binanggit ni Jesus ang pangalan ni Lazarus. So ibig sabihin, hindi ito inimbentong kwento. Ito ay kasaysayan na tunay na nangyari. Meron talagang isang beggar na ang pangalan na Lazarus at meron talagang isang mayaman na mangmang na hindi na, by the way, pag namatay ka, napunta ka sa impyerno, yung pangalan mo natatanggal sa buhay na walang hanggan. Kaya wala siyang pangalan. So, in all this, he says, cool my tongue. So he feels, he's thirsting, he's in torment. Sabi niya, nasa torment siya. So, natutulog ba yung kaluluwa niya? Oh, sabi naman ng saksi ni Hoba, lahat ng mga namamatay ay tulog sa libingan. Ito ang impyerno. Oh, no, sorry. Meron palang bahagi ng impyerno na nararamdaman ng kaluluwa. Ang kapighatian, uhaw, may alala sila, may nakilala niya si Abraham, nakita niya. So, ibig sabihin yung mata niya namulat. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. So there's tongue, there's eyes, there's memory, there's sentient. People are aware, they know. They're alive. In the spirit, not in the flesh. The flesh is in the grave, but the soul is still alive. In torment. So, verse 24, and he cried, said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger, cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I am tormented in this flame. Nakakaramdam kayo yung mga kaluluwa? Sabi niya, I am tormented in this flame. So yung mga popular preachers ngayon, ayaw nila magturo ng patungkol sa impyerno. Gusto nila heaven palagi. Heaven. Wala naman akong problema sa heaven. Kung yan ang tinuturo ni Job, edi yan ang tinuturo ko ngayon. Ang problema, nasa Job 38 tayo. The doors of death. O kaya binubuksan ko ito para makita natin sa scriptures kung ano ang impyerno. So, verse 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us, sabi ni Abraham dun sa rich man, between us, sabi niya, there is a great gulf fixed. Uy, meron palang great gulf. Great gulf fixed. So anong ibig sabihin ng great gulf? Merong agwat. Yung Abraham's bosom sa place of torments na, and it says over here, a great gulf fixed so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So yung mga gusto nang pumunta doon, hindi pwede. Yung mga gusto pumunta doon, hindi rin pwede. Kasi merong great gulf fixed. So this is Jesus opening the doors of death so we can see beyond the grave what is there. Now, so may great gulf fixed. So anyway, so the scriptures teach this. And naalala nyo yung thief on the cross nung namatay si Kristo? Sabi ng thief on the cross, Lord, diba dalawa yung magnanakaw na katabi ni Jesus nung pinako siya sa cross? Sabi ng isa, Lord, remember me pagdating mo bilang hari. Nagpakumbaba siya, tinanggap niya si Jesus Christ, kinilala niya. O nga, siya talaga ang hari, siya talagang anak ng Diyos, siya talaga ang Messiah. Lord, huli na ang lahat sa akin, mamamatay na ako. Pero request lang, Lord, alalahanin mo ako pagbalik mo bilang hari. Kasi alam ko, mabubuhay ulit tayo ulit. Sabi ni Jesus sa kanya, nung sinabi ni Jesus sa kanya, today, ngayong araw na ito, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Sa araw na ito, sabi niya, bago sumapit yung araw, magkakapiling tayo sa paradise. Ito yung paradise na pinag-uusapan niya, hindi ito. Eh yung isang magnanakaw, hindi siya nagsisi, hindi siya nagpakumbaba, hulaan niyo na lang kung saan siya pumunta. Malamang dito. So you have that. Bukod dyan, tingnan mo ang 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Kaya kita nyo, ayawan ko kung makakalampas kaya tayo sa 38. Anyway, 2 Peter chapter 2. Notice in 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 4. 2 Peter 2:4, the Bible says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, he cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness reserved unto judgment." So yung mga angels na pinag-aralan natin last week, yung mga angels na hindi nagpatuloy, yung mga angels na sumama sa rebellion ni Lucifer, naalala ninyo yung pinag-aralan natin last week. Sila yung mga angels na nakiapid sa mga daughters of men sa Genesis 6. Dahil sa kasuklam-suklam na ginawa nila na paglabag sa Panginoon, sila ay pinarusahan ng Diyos. So hindi lahat ng mga demonyo nakatanikala. Merong mga demonyo na pag-alagala sa mundo ngayon. Hello? Do you believe that? Are there demonic forces in the world today? Yes. So, merong mga demons, devils, na talagang pag-alagala sa mundo natin. Mahilig sila sa church, by the way. Eh, si Jesus, nung nangaral siya sa Luke chapter 4, nangaral siya sa sinagoga, si Jesus mismo. Pagkatapos ng kanyang pangangaral, may nang gulo na evil spirit. So, anyway, pero merong mga angels na nakatanikala. There really are angels that are chained today. Where are they at? Well, the Bible says, "For God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell." Iba naman yung Greek word, hindi Hades. Yung word hell dito, sa Greek naman dito, ay Tartarus. Tartarus. So ibig sabihin, merong bahagi sa gilid ng place of torment na nakatanikala yung mga angels na pasaway. Yan ang pakpak nila. Oh. Yeah. Bigyan ko ng, hindi yung magandang pakpak. Ha? Yeah. Bigyan ko pa ng Yan, para alam ninyo. Pag nandito ka, hindi magandang lugar yon. Okay. So, they are chained. Now, I don't understand it. I don't understand how angels and demons could be chained in a place of torment. I don't understand it. But I read it in the scriptures and I believe it because this is the word of God. The word of God is faithful and true. So, nakareserba pala yan sa judgment. Now, tingnan mo ang Jude, verse number 6. Go to the book of Jude, verse number 6. I'm just visiting the doors and the gates of death. All right? And Jude, verse 6. Tingnan mo ang Jude 6. So before Revelation, yung last book ay yung book of Jude. Jude, verse number 6, kasi isa lang ang chapter ng Jude. Jude 6, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath reserved in everlasting chains under the darkness unto the judgment of the great day." So, yung judgment nila, sa hinaharap pa lang yun. Sa ngayon, nakatanikala sila sa Tartarus, sa hell, dun sa place of torments. So, there we have that. Jude confirms what Peter is talking about. He sees that there. Go to Isaiah 14. Punta tayo sa Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14 verse 15. Isaiah 14 verse 15. Look at what the Bible says. Ito si Lucifer, ito si Satanas, nung naging Satanas siya. Isaiah 14, 15, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." So, darating din yung time na si Satan din ay matatanikala rin siya. Okay, so si Satan naman, siya yung pinaka number one na Satan. Oh, yan, malaking pakpak talaga yan. Oh, bigyan pa natin ng extra. Si Mangot. Okay. So darating din yung time na siya rin ay matatanikala. Kailan yun? Kailan ilalagay siya sa chain? Kasi sabi ni Isaiah, prenopisay ni Isaiah, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." So ito yung pit, ito yung sides of the pit, Tartaro. Kailan siya tatanikalaan? When? Tingnan mo ang Revelation chapter 20. So pagbalik ni Jesus Christ, magtataguyod siya ng kingdom niya sa Revelation 19, yung kanyang second coming. Revelation 20, siya ang maghahari, si Jesus Christ ang maghahari sa buong daigdig at tatanggalin niya si Satan. Wala hong demonic, satanic influence si Satan ng 1,000 taon. Revelation chapter 20 verse 2. Revelation 20 verse 2, "And he laid hold on the dragon," yes, si Satan, "that old serpent," na yung serpent na nag-lie kay Adam and Eve sa Genesis, lumitaw uli sa Revelation, "which is the devil," capital D, pangalan yan, devil, enemy, "and Satan," ibig sabihin ni Satan, Satan is adversary, kaaway, "and bound him 1,000 years. Ilang years siyang itatanikala? 1,000 years. Oh, pag sinabing 1,000 years, millennial yun. Millennium. So, habang may millennial kingdom si Jesus Christ, nasaan si Satan? Ayan, naka-chain sa gilid ng impyerno. And so you have that there. Now, So itong Abraham's bosom, by the way, nung namatay si Jesus Kristo, nilibing, at muli siyang nabuhay, dinala niya lahat ng mga nandito sa third heaven, sa ikatlong heaven. So naalala ninyo yung first firmament, sky, yung second firmament, outer space, okay, kung lack of better words, it's really the firmament above the firmament, yung kung saan yung stars, sun and moon, and yung mga planets, okay, nandun yung lahat yan. That's the second heaven. Ano yung third heaven? Ayan yung trono ng Diyos. So nung namatay si Jesus, bumaba siya sa impyerno, pero hindi pala siya pumunta dito. Pumunta siya dito para ano? Kukunin niya lahat ng mga saved ng Old Testament at dadalhin niya ngayon sa paradise in the third heaven. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Kaya pagdating ni Paul, tingnan mo ang sabi ni Paul kung nasaan ang paradise ngayon. Oh, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 4. 2 Corinthians 12:4, "How that he was caught up into paradise." Caught up. Eh, di ba yung paradise sa ilalim? Oo, nung kapanahonan ni Kristo. Pero nung siya ay namatay, nilibing, muling nabuhay, according to Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8, "He took captivity captive." Ibig sabihin, kinuha niya lahat ng mga nandun sa nakakulong sa Abraham's bosom at dinala niya yun sa third heaven. Kaya ngayon sa kapanahonan ni Paul, sabi niya, caught up into paradise. Kasi hindi na yung paradise sa ilalim. Yung paradise ngayon ay nasa langit. It's in heaven now. Let's see. All right, Colossians chapter 2 verse 15. Colossians chapter 2 verse 15. Colossians 2:15. Ito ang isa sa mga gawa ng Panginoong Hesukristo. And having spoiled principalities and powers, that's demonic spiritual realm. Pag sinabing principalities and powers, yung kapamahalaan at kapangyarihan ng kaaway ni Diablo. Having spoiled principalities, ibig sabihin, binali niya, winasak niya yung kaharian ni Satanas. And he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So while he was in Sheol, in Hades, he openly triumphed over it. Dinala niya yung mga bihag sa langit, yung mga saved. Yun nandito sa iyo. Hindi niya dinala ito. Kaya, pag ang tao ay namatay at hindi tinanggap si Jesus Christ, kahit na baptist siya, nagpapanggap siyang baptist. Baptist naman ako. Nabaptize naman ako. Pag ang tao na wala kay Kristo at si Kristo ay wala sa kanya, sa oras ng kanyang kamatayan, dito siya pupunta. Kaya hindi tayo pwede mag-bless ng mga patay. Kung baga parang ganito yon, estudante ka, sasabi mo sa akin, Pastor Bin, Brother Bin, please pray for me na makuha ko ang magandang grade sa final exam. Ang tanong ko sa'yo, nag-aral ka ba? Pinag-aralan mo yan? Hindi. Pray lang. Parang yung magpapa-blood chem ka. Brother Bill, pray for my blood chem. Para yung result, magic. Tanong, dinisiplina mo ba yung sarili mo para hindi kumain ng matataba, maaalat? Hindi. Pero, you know, baka sakali. You never know. Huh? Ganun yun. Brother Bill, pag-pray mo yung mahal ko sa buhay. Para hindi mapasok dito. Question, tinanggap ba niya si Jesus Christ? Sumampalataya ba siya sa Panginoon bilang tagapagligtas? Ha? Hindi ko tinatanong kung baptist siya. Maraming mga baptist pupunta dito. Kasi pinagmamalaki nila, baptist ako. Hindi tayo saved dahil baptist tayo. Save tayo dahil kay Jesus Christ. Kung wala siya dito, kahit na mag-pray ka na mag-pray, hindi mo pwedeng dalhin yung mga kaluluwa dito. So, Job, do you understand this, Job? Can you explain this? Sabi ni Job, no? At kung tutuusin, kahit na ako, hindi ko pa rin mag-gets ito. I don't understand it. But I believe it. And I receive it. Because it's in the Word of God. So ganito yon, Job. Yes, nagpadala ang Diyos ng pagsubok sa'yo. Pero sa kalagitnaan ng pagsubok na yan, kahit na hindi mo naintindihan ng Diyos, kahit na hindi mo naunawaan ang sinag ng araw, at ang pintuan ng kamatayan, pwede mong pagkatiwalaan yung Diyos na nagpadala ng pagsubok. And that's where we are. That's all we will consider tonight. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you that really you open up the doors of death for us to see these things. And if you did not report these things or confirm these things to us through the Scriptures, we would be so ignorant. We would have made up all these things. We wouldn't even have a clue.
But we are so thankful that the Word of God is so powerful and rich and sharper than any two-edged sword that it pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul, even the very soul and spirit could be split. And the thoughts and intents of our hearts could be split. And that the Word of God would discern us. And so I pray, Father, that if we can't explain these things, we can certainly trust in your goodness and your grace to enable us to overcome the obstacles that you have, that have passed through your loving hands before it ever came to us. Help us to trust in you, Lord. Help us to know more about you so that we can trust more in you. This is a challenge for us, Lord. We confess. We ask that you forgive us of our sins and cleanse us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.